Welcome to Career and Leadership Real Talk, the no-nonsense guide for ambitious managers who want to have more impact and progress their career. I'm Pamela Langan, a job search coach and expert CV writer specializing in helping frustrated professionals land the jobs and pay rises they know they deserve.
And I'm Jackie Jagger, a leadership and mindset coach specializing in helping newly promoted and new-to-role leaders to avoid the dickhead trap and lead with confidence. Between us, we've helped hundreds of leaders and managers to find new roles, take ownership of their careers, and handle the challenges that job searches and leadership responsibility inevitably bring. And now we're joining forces to share with you what we know has worked for our clients. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode. If you are listening as this episode is released, then it is the end of the first quarter of 2024, which has gone alarmingly quickly. But what we wanted to do was to share a process that we use individually for ourselves within our own business, but also that we use with clients, which is around quarterly reflection and future planning. So this is something that probably for me just became a bit of a habit towards the end of my employed career, and is something that I know that I could have been far more effective if I'd learned some of these skills earlier on, hence why we wanted to share it and encourage you to consider how it might be able to help you. So, Pam, quarterly planning then, why is that a thing? Why is it that we chose to pick this for the podcast?
So we chose it. I feel like we chose it because it is something that we find so useful to start with. Like, we really find it useful, and it really helps us drive our businesses forward. And when we use it with clients, we can really see how it helps drive their careers forward and their effectiveness within their roles as well. So one of the things that comes up often with quarterly planning and reviews is that most of our objectives generally set once a year, aren't they? In the corporate world, we do that annual objective setting and planning, and then it gets filed away and then we don't come back to it. Oh, actually, that's probably not the best way to talk about that, because we do come back to them, but usually when there's about 1 week to go to review, or a couple of weeks to go until they're going to be reviewed again, and we come back to them and we go, oh my goodness, I missed that, forgot about that, did that, but not quite in that context. So doing it quarterly, I feel like, makes all the difference, because you can review what's ahead of you. You can review what you need to do immediately, and you can look at the long-term goals and make sure that they still align with the business goals. And also when you're looking at your own personal development with your longer-term goals as well. So it just makes sense to do it on a quarterly basis, so that you're checking in with yourself, with maybe with the rest of the business, to make sure that the annual objectives are really still the things that you need to deliver. And then if you need to change the plan, if you need to change direction, you can do that, and it's absolutely fine. And you're doing that with intention.
That intention is so important. And this really links into our whole strapline of take ownership of your career. Being in a situation where you have those annual objectives, I was smiling as you were describing it. I was like, oh, that's taking me back to literally pulling out my objectives document and going, oh, okay. And I think the other thing, if you don't create some structure around shorter range reflection and planning, then what often happens for my clients, certainly, and it did for me in my employed career, is you end up with additional things that aren't on your annual objectives that become quite big projects or quite big uses of your time, energy, and resources, whether that's individually for you or for your team. And those things sometimes get missed because they might not be on the annual objectives document. And sometimes it's about reassessing, like you say, do the shorter term things that we're engaged with, me, myself, and also a team that I might be leading, are those still the most important things? Are they contributing to my annual objectives? And if the things that feel more important, or that I've been guided to say are more important for me to deliver in the shorter term, then those potentially need to be reflected. And it may be that things need to come off so that you don't run the risk of getting to that 2 weeks before your annual appraisal and realizing that it looks like you haven't achieved what you were supposed to achieve. You can really take ownership of showing throughout the year, not just at the end, the contribution that you're making, the value that you're adding in your role.
Yeah. And one of the things that I find really useful with the quarterly planning is that it really helps you to set boundaries. So where you might be unsure of what your boundaries should look like, actually, when you go through that quarterly planning process and you reflect on what you've achieved, and then you look forward at what you're going to work on in the next few months, that is really going to help you to decide what you can and can't do. It is going to really set those boundaries in stone, because by doing X means you can't do Y, or by giving time to something else means that it's going to take your time away from something that could be critical in you achieving your objectives. So I find it really useful from that perspective as well.
It really is. So if people haven't been in this habit, how can you make a start with this? If somebody didn't set 3 month objectives at the start of this year, or it isn't their annual cycle, where are the first steps?
So the first step for me is always to stop and take a step back and assess what has happened in the previous quarter. You're just looking backwards at what you've done, at what you've achieved, how easy it was, how difficult it was, and really like focusing in on all of the good stuff, the things that you've learned, and also thinking about what you want to work on going forward. And the only way that you'll get to that point of what do I want to work on moving forward, or what are the priorities moving forward, is to think back and look at what you've covered over the last 3 months or the last quarter.
Love that. And we've got four specific areas, haven't we, that people can start to use to get some of that hindsight and reflection and build some of that understanding of what's been happening before they move on to the future planning. So talk us through those four things.
Okay, so the first one is going to be, what does the data say? So looking at all of the relevant data and metrics that will provide the insights into your own team's performance, the project progress that you've made, and just general overall results. And looking at, are you actually on track at this point to achieve the annual results that you want to deliver? That's always going to be number one.
So that could be things like KPIs. It could be the ongoing stuff about projects that you're engaged with. Are they on time? Are they on budget? It could be looking at the review ratings that you've achieved or that your team have achieved. There's so much different data, isn't there, that people can look at to start to build this story?
Yeah, definitely. And then the next part, number two, is going to be reflecting on achievements, because we know most of the ambitious leaders that we work with, they don't spend enough time capturing the good stuff. And it's so important, because apart from that feel-good factor that you get from reviewing the good stuff, it's really good to celebrate the successes, the big and the small successes, because we often overlook some of these things as just being part of the day job. But it can really help you to recognize the efforts and the contributions that you've made, that your team members have made, and understand what made those things possible. Like, what were those contributing factors and what made them possible? And it also really helps to define what your contribution is overall, or what the contribution that you've made is overall. And then when it comes around to your annual review, you will be absolutely super pleased with yourself that you created that list, because you'll have that list and everything will be documented on there, and you'll be able to retain that information.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. When people come to think about their annual appraisal, we have a recency bias in our head where the stuff that is more recent is going to be more memorable. And so if you haven't done this, you are doing yourself a disservice when you get to the annual appraisal, because you and your boss are likely only to remember the more recent stuff at that particular time. And a lot of these other things will potentially just be lost to the mists of time. So if you are serious about wanting to progress your career, this is one of the single, simplest, but most impactful things that you can do for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And then the third thing is identify challenges that you've faced during the last 3 months or the last quarter. And this isn't about beating yourself up. This is about having a real honest assessment of where you fell short or when you came up against unexpected obstacles, because really looking into those things and understanding the root causes and how you explored those potential solutions is really going to help you move forward, because most of us naturally will just put anything that was bad, anything that made us feel uncomfortable, in a box and store it away. And what we want to do is we want to unpack that at the end of each quarter or the end of each month and think about, what did make us feel uncomfortable? What did we learn from that? What can we take away? What will we do differently next time?
This comes up so often with clients where something that feels uncomfortable and horrible actually becomes a really helpful learning point. When you look at, could I have anticipated that challenge? If I were to face that same challenge again, what would I want to do in that particular situation? These are the types of questions that when I'm working with coaching clients, they have that opportunity to reflect, and it lets go of emotion attached. It lets go of beating yourself up and shifts into, what can I take from it? I can't change the past, but I can change the future. And if you don't have that reflection time, then the risk is that you repeat that same mistake because you've missed the opportunity to take the learning and the understanding. I have so much empathy for people doing this. I was very much that kind of onto the next, onto the next, onto the next, and didn't do as much reflection either on achievements or on challenges as I could have done in my career. And it's one thing that it now makes me a fierce advocate, because having started to do it and recognized, oh, this has a massive impact, it has become something that working with clients and seeing the value it adds, I'm a huge advocate for it.
Yeah, I am the same with that. And then that leads me on to number four, which is seeking feedback. So asking for feedback generally makes people feel uncomfortable. We know this. And you can feel quite exposed asking for feedback. But again, this isn't about beating yourself up. It's about capturing the good stuff and also making sure that you can continue exploring changes that you can make so that your next review has even more for the achievement section. So it's about asking the right questions when you're looking for that feedback, not just asking, tell me generally about my performance. So some questions that you can use in order to get some actionable feedback, and we will also link to the podcast episode that we did around asking for feedback as well if you want to go a little bit more in depth. But just to get you started with some questions to think about for your quarterly planning, number one would be, how would you rate the degree of clarity and direction I give the team? Are there any examples where I've done it well or could have done it better? So these are questions that you can ask to your senior leaders. And again, number two, from your perspective, what are the one to two things I could do differently? You can keep this general or you can apply it to specific situations. For example, what could I do differently in meetings? And number three is, how can I better communicate our goals, priorities, and expectations? And then number four could be, what would you say the best things about the contribution our team makes? So as you ask those questions and you capture the responses and you reflect, you'll be able to think about those things and what other people have said and really use that in the next quarter to make sure that you're driving your team forward and you're moving towards achieving what you set out at the start of the year.
Yeah, it's it is really valuable, and very few people consistently commit to this. And even if you don't create a future 90-day plan, just purely creating that regular process of reflection and review will potentially be a game changer for your career. So even if you listen to none of the rest of this episode, then take note of some of those areas, think about how they could help, and create some time for more of that reflection. So once people have done that, then what comes next? That's all well and good having all that reflection and looking at the data and thinking about what's gone well and what the challenges have been. How do you then start to move into crafting a plan for the coming quarter?
So the first thing that you need to do when you start to think about creating your plan, so obviously you need to give yourself some time to look at those reflections and really think into them and really understand what was good, what you can do better, and all of that kind of stuff. The next thing that you need to do is to create some thinking space. So block out some time in your calendar and find a spot where you're not going to be interrupted. And that might be at work, that might be off site somewhere, that might be in a coffee shop, wherever you know that you do your best thinking, wherever you can be creative and really give yourself that space to look at everything that you've reflected on and then what you need to do to move forward as well. So you want to be thinking about how you can use this time creatively, and even thinking like sometimes a nice new notebook can help, or some new pens can really help this part of the process along, because new stationery can sometimes help you be a bit more creative. I know I absolutely love a new pack of highlighters, and at the moment I'm absolutely loving mechanical pencils for all my planning so I can rub stuff out. But whatever it takes for you to think creatively and to give yourself that time and space is good.
Yeah, the environment is something that people don't always give thought to. And changing your environment can really change your mental state. It can really change how you feel and just create that foundation for you to think and operate differently. So people generally do not do their best thinking in front of a laptop with a Word document open. And yet that is so often when somebody starts to think about creating a plan, that's so often where people go to first. We're not trying to be prescriptive with what you need to do, but just think about what environment works best for you. Is it a cafe with a notebook? Is it a different office? Is it with a whiteboard and magic markers? What do you need to do your best thinking? Go create that.
Yeah, and I totally agree with all of that. And I think the next thing for me is about creating clarity as well, because I think sometimes we set the goals and we set the objectives and then we almost move so far away from them that we forget about the real basic stuff. So asking yourself questions like, what are the expectations of me in my role, might seem pretty basic, but actually sometimes we can move so far away from what is expected of us because we've taken on new projects and new pieces of work and all the rest of it, that we can actually move quite far away from that, which is then going to jeopardize our ability to achieve those objectives that we set at the start of the year. And then thinking about, what are my priorities? And also, like, the key thing is, what is the number one priority? What is the key thing that I need to be focusing on in this next quarter? And what specific outcomes do I need to deliver in the next 90 days? And that might, you need to go back and revisit the original objectives and the original goals and work out, are we on track or not? And then going back to the data is going to be really useful there. And then what will need to be in motion in the next 90 days so that the longer term outcomes will become a reality. So we're not just going to whip out the documents a week before and go, oh, how can we get all of this done in the next 7 days? So yeah, so thinking about what you need to have in motion, almost planning out like each thing as a mini project that you need to deliver.
I just want to pick up two of those that I think are my top two. And that is the, what is the number one priority? I bang on about this to clients. You should always know what is the number one priority for you and your team right now? And you should make sure that your team would answer that the same way that you do. And the other is that question of what needs to be in motion to hit my annual objectives, as opposed to just what needs to be delivered in this next 3 months. It's so easy to, when you're doing 3 month planning, to focus on, I need to deliver this in the 3 months, or I'm already working on this and this needs to get to this point. You have to be aware of what are the things that might be coming up. There might be cross-functional projects you'll need to be involved with. There might be things that are going to be delivered in the second half, but some groundwork needs to happen in this next quarter. So very much that longer range view, and then saying, okay, and of that, what needs to be in motion in this next 90 days will mean that you don't have those nasty surprises when you come to do the next plan.
Yeah, exactly. And that leads quite nicely into the next part, which is about reflection again, because reflection is so valuable. So once you sit down to create your plan, it is about reflecting and asking yourself some more questions around what actions need to be taken in order for the outcomes to be delivered. What knowledge or skills will I need to make this happen? Or what knowledge or skills will my team need to make this happen? What relationships do you need to develop? And also, what do you need to stop doing or do less of? And who will now be doing the work? And I think that's the real key part, isn't it? Because we get so focused in on, let's write some actions, let's write some objectives. What are we going to be doing? What does success look like? And all of that kind of stuff. But we forget to just reflect in that little bit deeper to really understand what actions do we actually need to take, and what are those core things that sit underneath all of that, like the relationships, because building strong relationships in one area can mean that you can speed something up in another area. And it's about looking at that as a whole thing and how it all fits in together. And it's just, when you do that, it's game changing. It really is. And we do this for our business. We do this with clients as well, don't we? And the feedback that we get from clients is, wow, that is absolutely game changing. I've never thought about it like that. I set the objectives at the start of the year and go and whip the documents out in the last few weeks and job's done. And then you spend that few weeks trying to pull all your evidence together and all of that kind of stuff, when actually doing it this way, you can make that real impact as you go along. And it helps with everything, doesn't it? All of this stuff that you'll be doing within this planning, within the 90-day planning, is stuff that you can use for interview answers. It's stuff that you can use to progress your career, to understand where you need to develop on a personal level. It's just the most valuable thing that you can do in your career.
It really is. So with all of that in place then, where you've got that good thinking space, you've reflected on how to create clarity for what needs to be delivered or achieved, you've thought about the actions that then need to happen. Essentially, that's the point at which you're in the position to create your 90-day plan, isn't it?
Yeah. And this is where you do need to now take the ideas that you've got and really document that plan. So it's easy to get really hung up on the format of the plan. And if you've already got one that you love, then just go for it, get it done, start working through it. Or if you haven't, or you're not quite sure where to start, or you'd like to see an example, then Jackie's created a template that you can use to get you started. When, as you're working through your plan, what you want to do now is you want to take all of the initial information that you've dumped onto the paper and ask yourself which of this stuff needs to come first, and start to sift through the ideas that you've got and almost create yourself three lists: a 30-day list, a 60-day list, and a 90-day list. And they're the things that you will then work through. And at this point, it's not unusual to have a huge list in month one and barely anything in the second or third month. And Jackie's smiling and nodding, because this is what happens generally, isn't it, when we do that first draft of the quarterly plan.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And again, it's that recency bias in operation, where the things that have occurred to you all feel like, yep, that's important. So you've got all these ideas bubbling, and it's natural to then just put everything down for the next 30 days and then there's nothing beyond. And don't get me wrong, I think a normal 90-day plan will have more in the first 30 days, a bit less in the 30 to 60 days, and a bit less again, because curveballs will come in, situations will change, there will be things that you don't know now, or things that are contingent for later on what happens at the start. So it's natural that there will be more at the beginning when you first create your plan, but just be mindful of how much have you got, and is that realistic? Is that sensible? Bearing in mind how your week is structured and how you operate, what you don't want to do is just create yourself a mad, crazy 30-day plan, set yourself up to fail and get to the end of the first 30 days and be, okay, that's all gone out the window and I haven't had time to do any of it. So it's just encouraging people to have some of that balance. And we would always advocate for people to review your 90-day plan. So craft it, create it, put something down, go away, have 24 hours and come back to it with fresh eyes. You'll see things that you missed, that you totally forgot, and you, how the hell did I miss that? You will also see things that look like bottlenecks. You will see things that you need to shift from now to maybe a little bit later. So don't just do this all in one go and think, ta-da, there we go. Create it, but then go away and come back to it before you finalize what your plan looks like.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing, isn't it? You need to get it done and then you need to come back and revisit it, because when you come back with fresh eyes, you've had time to let things settle and you can think through things in a little bit more detail. And also you might need to give yourself some time to think through the different processes and what needs to come first. And if that comes first, who then needs to wait? Can that be managed? And then you can just take yourself through the process and figure it all out as you go. And I suppose the easiest way to do this and to like make sure that you are focused on your plan is to look at the top priorities for each of the lists. So on your 30-day actions, your 60-day actions, and your 90-day actions, like what are the top three priorities? And then you can then look at them and see, do they link together? Do they follow on from each other? Does this look right? And you're just picking the top three and you don't look at anything else until you've got through that top three.
That's such a common thing, is that people have this huge list. Here's my plan. And then you do that sense check of, okay, and the thing that you said was the current top priority for you and your team, how much of that is there in this? And the other things that you said were vying for attention of being the top priority, but didn't quite make it, how much of those is there? So if things really are the top priority, then make sure that's reflected. And if things are lower down the priority list, then that helps when you're coming back to it to say, do you know what? Actually, there needs to be less of that, or we need to find an easier way to do that, or I need to find somebody else that is going to work with me or take ownership of some of those aspects on that particular thing. Because that's the whole purpose, is once you've got that clarity of what's most important, how do you make sure that there's enough attention to move things forward on those top priorities? And that's where this kind of refining process becomes so important.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're looking at it, especially like if you're looking at, say, for example, you're looking at the priorities in your 60-day list, but actually some of those things need to start to happen in the 30-day list, but you've not included that as a priority because you're focusing on other things, then that's where you can then really go back and go, what actually is important? Do we actually need to achieve that thing first, or what we're looking at as immediate goals, are they more important? And I think the more you do that and the more you get yourself into the habit of doing that and thinking through those processes, it will just save you so much time and it will really help you get the clarity as well.
It does. It becomes a filter for decision making. It's a cycle. The more that you create the clarity, the more the things that are most important are evident, and the more that you can put energy and attention into those things. And then the more you do that, the more momentum you gain on the things that really do matter. But also it gives that filter that says, okay, if something else comes in from the side, is that as important as this? do I need to take my attention off this in order to accommodate that? And going back to the episode that we did just last about being more assertive, then you've got that way of having that conversation and of managing some of those conflicting priorities when you've got a plan initially. If you haven't done this thinking, if you haven't got clarity on what the priorities are, then you are at risk of other people making demands of you and your team and not knowing how to rank things and how to try and accommodate and trying to commit to too much.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you really do embrace and become consistent with planning and 90-day planning, you also embrace and become consistent with the creative thinking time as well, and making sure that you've got that planned in. And that will make it way more likely that yourself and your team are better equipped to deliver what you need to deliver without burning out or wasting energy on unnecessary tasks. And it really is a disciplined approach that will make you more flexible in the long run and able to stay in control despite any inevitable curveballs that may pop up along the way. And if you like support with any of this, Jackie does a really good power hour around this. And there's a plan and workbook that you can also download. I'll put the link in the show notes. So if you want to download the plan and workbook and you want some support with creating your plan, then do check out Jackie's Practical Leadership Power Hours, because they are amazing. So thank you for listening this week. And please do share the episode with anybody that you think might find it useful. And as usual, don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platforms. And we will be back next week with another episode.